The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Foundation with Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, J.S. Johnson, Mobile Garage Technologies, Platinum Pastries, Popeyes, Ron's Electric Motors, and the University of the Bahamas.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Excuse me for the interruption, but you come and look with reminder to say this coming Friday, and please come over the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. And it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working, bada bada, it's complain, boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 liter. This a digital sweeter. See London just a up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play the play. I dem a tear up the game. Them off is safe with them cast it and I'm tame. Oh Lord. Play for the vibe. Let's keep them alive. Play this coming, see my fi jump and scream. Oh, I'ma play LP. See them really love me. See my fi jump and scream. But this a dance and a free. And it's a Friday evening, boom. The people them tired of working. Penna penna, Lord them hear the disco playing.
Bam! Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation on this beautiful Friday, 242 day. Talk to me. I hope you got your little clothes on. I really forgot. Well, I can't say that I forgot. You know, I was rushing to get out of the house. I did my best to kind of sleep in late. The kids didn't go into, they're not going to school today, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, praise God. Let me just see if I can get a little sleep in today. Woke up and, you know, decided, let me just meet just now. I said, oh, Howard, what's the matter, right? So I say, no, well, this is the tribulation period before independence. This is that great period, right, where everything was mashed up. We didn't know. I said, we got to go through all the phases, and then we'll get to the jubilance and to the jubilee that we that we enjoy. But it's truly, it just slipped my mind. But I'm hoping that you're out there and you're all dressed in your 242 colors. And if you're in your shops and whatnot, make sure that you do the your items 242. And if you're one of those persons who wanted to be able to kind of dive into something to have a nice Bohemian flavor and a little taste, today's a good day for Kong Salad. Excuse me, you know who I'm talking to. Listen, y'all stop playing, man. Come do some advertisements with me and let's make some things happen because I'm not out here to call your place name on Slack. You know who you are, all right? Come on and let's talk about those things because people need to know where they can get authentic, good, delicious Bahamian stuff. Go down there to Arawaki, go down there to Montague, go to the other spaces and places. Maybe you go out west, you want to taste some Kong Salad and do your thing. We know that Platinum Pastries said yesterday they had, was that like a pea soup thing? I think he said he had conch and ribs and this and that and all these things and that. So make sure you get that. Maybe you got two or three to kind of put that aside to make some things happen like that. Is it authentically Bahamian? My grandmother had a store years ago, right? Right there in 8 Mile Rock in Hannah Hill. She had this store years ago, and she would sell pickled everything. I thought it was the most disgusting thing in the world. It was disgusting. Because, I mean, okay, so pickled sausages is one thing. She got the pickled sausages right here. It was cool. Everyone likes the pickled sausages. Miss Merrill, can you put some more pepper on it for me, please? So we're doing the pickled sausages, and, you know, you're doing the whole pepperoni. And then she kind of upgraded. She said, let's do some pickled egg. I said, Grammy, I think you're doing way too much now. Hold up. Wait. Who eating pickled eggs, right? And then she said, I think we should do the pickled pig feet. Do you remember the pickled pig feet? Do you remember that? Is it only me? Most disgusting thing I've ever, oh my God. Is that like authentically Bahamian? Have a pickled pig foot today. I mean, if that's your thing, right? But today we're celebrating everything 242. It's a beautiful day here in the city. It's beautiful to be here alive and living. I read some information to see that three persons was shot last night. Today, I don't have the story before me, but I did definitely read it last night, or this morning rather, and was taken back, man. A 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, and I don't think they mentioned the age of the third person, but this is wild. This is bananas. Instantly, when I read that, I said, oh, well, this is why they can't keep blood in the blood bank. This is the issue that we're having. So essentially, are we condoning or really being able to subconsciously support this effort if we put blood in the bank? I mean, talk to me. Let's be decent. The lines are wide open today. Let's just be decent about it. I'm thinking to myself, we're doing the best as decent citizens, right? We're doing our best to kind of be out here and support what needs to be done when we hear, go to the bank, my cousin in the bank. I mean, go to the hospital and give blood for my cousin, my auntie in the hospital, so forth and so on. And so our heart bleeds for these people. We know these people. These are good, upstanding people in our community. We want to give blood for them. But every time we hear a shooting, I mean, we're not looking for the people to kind of... But this is what some things that are happening here in the country. How do we rectify and resolve these issues? Guys, the line's going to be wide open today. I want to be able to do that with you and sort of dive into the conversation with you today. There's a lot that's been happening over the past few weeks. The midterm budget was in. I really wanted to have a conversation about women and their kind of position when I heard the Honorable Janet Boswick being able to speak more specifically about women and their position. Then we had Dr. Jacinta Higgs kind of pop in on us yesterday. So I wanted to touch that today. So it's going to be like a casual Friday. We do our best to kind of make it casual. But for some reason, I don't know why, it tends to spike. So hopefully we can be able to keep it mellow tone today and really talk about where we are and where we're growing, to do some reflection, to be able to do some things like that. Let me thank those persons who are here with us and always thank those persons that remain committed to doing those things. Let me thank Mobile Garages. These are good, decent people. Manage your fleet and vehicles online with 100% Bahamian-owned fleet management software backed by Bridgestone Americas. They track your fuel, your location, your fleet expenses, and so much more. All online. Schedule a free demo right now. Call 422-4575 or visit MobileGarageFleets.com. That's MobileGarageFleets.com. Or give him a call, like I said, 422-4575. That's my good, decent friend, Byron. I call him decent. Talk to me. I think he is. You know, when I say that, people say, decent, Howard. You ever call people decent, right? Yeah, man, he's got decent people. Decent. They look at you like, you don't know these people? No, I don't. I just know. Stop it, okay? Behave yourself. I don't want to know the people's business, right? But go check them out. There's Mobile Garage Fleet. They're good, decent people. And I'm happy to be able to kind of carry their brand here on the show. Somebody texts and say, today is no mayonnaise and Kong salad day. This is crazy. You know what's crazy? Let me tell you what's crazy. I'm from Grand Bahama, from 8 Mile Rock, right? And I never knew that you didn't put mayonnaise in your Kong salad. My uncles love the thing. Like my uncles, I have an uncle there. I'm telling you, he loves the thing. And he's been doing that from I was young. So it was just like a part of the culture of how you consume Kong salad. I've never eaten it like this. But I'm looking at this and I never thought it was weird. And then I come here to Nassau and you guys like cringe. You scorn the thing, right? You're like, oh my God. I can't believe, right? I think it was one of the same things I did with yellow grits. When I first moved to Nassau, I was like, oh my God, your grits is yellow? It was just weird. It's subcultures that exist under one umbrella that we call the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It will blow your mind. it will blow your mind. And I think we need to do more explorations within the walls of our territory to find out the cultures that exist, to have a greater appreciation for who we are and where we are. That's just my thing. That's my thought, to be able to do that. I also want to be able to give a shout out to my good friend, Greg. He's doing wonderful, man. Let me tell you why. The brand Devanius. Remember we talked about that? Devanius has been doing wonderful stuff. You know, the hot sauce, the chili sauce, all these sauces that they do, the jerk sauce and whatnot, is a wonderful thing. And he's made such a wonderful commitment to the show. Yeah, I'm grateful for it. I really am. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be able to carry his brand and talk about those things. But, you know, today being the day, it's Greg Douglas now, today being the day, a few things out there on Prince Charles. So I want to tell you about it. Let me see if I can be able to open this up. He sent me a menu. Let me see if I can be able to read it. This is how we're doing these stuff out there. All right, so you can get your Kong fritters. And this is one of the things that you can align with your 242 day. So you can get your Kong fritters. You can get your grilled chicken wings. You can get your grilled chicken wings glazed. You can get your house salads, crack conch, jerk chicken, jerk pork, grilled pork, cheese hamburger, right? Well, I guess it's a different type of burger. Cheese hamburger. Isn't it hamburger with cheese? Stop it. I'm not going to fight you, sir, but cheese hamburger. I suppose the cheese is, you know, the proprietary thing right there, right? Jerk chicken burger, grilled barbecue chicken. You get your Juicy Souls, you vitamin out the whole thing. Make sure you check him out. It's in the Kenneth Plaza on Prince Charles Drive from Monday to Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 and check them out. Please give them a call, 817-4468, 817-4468, to be able to do that. And today, I want to be able to introduce you to this. Next week, Friday, they're going to be doing something very special. Went to check him out yesterday. My very good friend, Byron, man. Byron Colley down there at Tiki Hut. Around there, right? I think that's Prince George Wolf, right? Is that how you say it, right? Is the Western Esplanade right there when you walk as you're going west towards the point. Right there to the left-hand side or to the north, you'll be able to see. There's sort of a hideaway. There's like a nice little tucked-away area that you can go. And when you walk inside, listen to me. He's done something with customer service I think all of us can be able to kind of manipulate, or not necessarily manipulate, but really be able to identify and use the principles thereof to be able to get your people coming in. Every time someone walks in, tourist walks in, guest walks in, local or otherwise, the entire staff stops and sort of claps their hand, and they get a little cowbell there, shake it, gling, 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 welcome, and they ask you your name. Welcome the Grants, gling, 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 Grants, hey! And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This must be extremely exhausting, but it becomes a part of the culture of what you do by being able to acknowledge your customer as they come through, as they come through the door. I think the acknowledgement should not only come when you are able to pick up your check, when your register is kind of stuffed and brimming over. I think the acknowledgement should come with the very first foot in the door and kind of giving that positive customer service. So I must commend Byron for what he's doing over at the Tiki Hut. And I want to encourage you to do that. As time progresses, every Friday, talk to me. Every Friday, it's not only going to be Tiki Fridays here on the Foundation with Howard Grant, but every Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to go down to Byron and get some free hors d'oeuvres, and you can buy one, get one free, right? So it's going to be an environment that all of us can be able to hang out. Sparky, I saw you taking some pictures down by Byron the other day. So I know that you know that this is a wonderful environment. Sparky, you got to call and talk to me about it. Talk to me. You're going to tell me that right now. But I saw the pictures, right? So you know the environment is a wonderful thing. We're going to be celebrating with Tiki Hut, and they're going to be celebrating with us. Every Friday is going to be Tiki Fridays, and we want to be able to remind you to do that. Byron is a very, very good friend of the show. I told you this. We did some wonderful things with him over at with Rush Hour, with Howard and Dazzy, and it's been a wonderful thing, man. It's been a wonderful thing, and then he's remained committed and strong to this sort of a relationship, and we're hoping that we can be able to make some major things happen. Guys, please, get your feet in the doors and check Byron out. It's a great environment, great food. You can get some hors d'oeuvres. And for all you single folks, it's a great area for you to be kind of meet someone. Talk about this chivalry and starting to cut up with people. I think we should, you know, formalize that and really be able to have good conversations about how things can happen. I think it's important that we do that. I don't think we have enough conversations now, and real conversations, not, you know, conversations with an objective. Talk to me. You know what I'm talking about, right? There should be a real conversation, a heart-to-heart, a genuine conversation to get to someplace so you can be able to grow. So we're doing that, guys, and it's a beautiful day. Talk to me. Now, I want to talk about some stuff now. I want to talk to you about some stuff. And I won't touch it. I do. I really do. I want to touch over the past, some people call me and say, Howard, you've been talking so much about politics. I see you getting into politics. I got a couple calls. There's about three of you I didn't have an opportunity to call back yet. You know who you are. I'll definitely give you a call back. I'm busy. I'm sorry. I don't make it to seem like that I'm not. After I get from here, I got to go pick up the kids. I'm extremely swamped. And little children is get you tired. Oh, my God. You know, there's one time I actually prayed for 10. I said, Jesus, give me 10 children. I want 10 children, Lord. And now I got 4. I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing? This is... How did Grammy then make it? How did Grammy then make it with all these children? This is crazy. All right? I got 4. But I love them, but they are definitely a handful. And I got big hands. So this is crazy. And I always say to myself, how in the hell can a single mother do this? We got to commend you single mothers for out here. One baby running up and down naked, soap all over them, laughing up and down. And the next one in the tub splashing and all these things. When I had my first 2, I saw that. I said, how do single mothers do this? This is crazy. So we got to commend you. You are truly the champions. And continue to be able to do what you do. And I just pray that the Father continues to give you grace, strengthen you, and that you pour into these children and they become the men and women that they're called to be here in this life and the purpose. But people call me and say, Howard, you've been talking about politics this week. Well, this, you know, we've been having a good conversation at the top of the week with George Smith. And then we spoke with Obi Roberts. And then we had a very good conversation with DeWitt and JJ here in the studio. And it was not, in my view, it was not the stereotypical conversation that you'd have about politics. It was about the beginning of the week, start to talk about origin and reflection. Midweek, we're starting to talk about through the eyes of one of the young persons coming up, build into modern day current politics. And Wednesday, we had a conversation that encompassed whether or not the commitments, the ideas, the sort of the vision was really meeting the people on the ground in the inner city where they wanted to be met, right? Do we still see a sense of brokenness? I thought we had a very good conversation, right? And today, I just don't touch on this. Like I said, the lines are wide open. I just don't touch on this. I think I was one of the proponents that actually spoke to the fact that I believe that this administration may be the administration that breaks this cycle of you're one and done, right? One shot, kill the crow. You ever played that basketball? I think this administration would be that. However, the past month, 2 months, from the beginning of January, as we came in with the increase in not only crime, but illegal migrants being able to come into the country, it seems as though, and you call me and tell me, Howard, what the hell are you talking about? Or Howard, I agree. It seems as though this administration is flustered. It seems overwhelmed, and they seem extremely reactive in being able to ensure that they deal with these things as though we didn't know this was coming. Where the hell did this come from? This wasn't a hurricane. These are issues that we've been dealing with for a generation now. These are issues that we've been dealing with more specifically for 20 years and some. These are issues that our prime minister, who has been in the cabinet for some time at the helm of leadership in the country, has recognized that we've been grappling with as a country for a very long time. And so to see the reaction of this administration over the past month and a half to how we're going to deal with these things, the reaction dealing with protesters being able to speak out about these particular issues, the reaction of how we see them taking on these particular things, I'm kind of taken back by it. I'm like, what is going on here? And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about whether or not this sort of approach, this your foot short to approach, you know, old people used to tell you, oh my God, you just miss it, your foot too short. I feel like that's what I'm seeing right now. And in constructing this particular concept to be able to tackle these things, I think I've seen this before in former administrations. Now, this might have been the way that things were governed in the past, but this generation of persons that are moving towards a progressive future, I don't think we'll stand for that. Give me a call, guys, and let me know. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text 422-4796. Let me take a telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Good afternoon. You're going already? Okay. I saw you there, and then I started to talk politics, and I guess you left. But let's talk about it. There's this fear that's associated with diving into a conversation about politics. Why? Are we so immature in our approach to being able to talk about issues that really matter to us? The reason I got Dr. Augustine Panchu is not because I think he is absolutely wonderful in what he does. He said to you, I found him on the internet on Sunday. I did, Saturday night, late. I hit him up. I trolled the man, hit him up. He found me. He saw it there on Sunday morning. I didn't see any faith in this thing. Let me tell you why I did that. The political correctness that exists in our environment, the desire to be able to walk over, tiptoe over eggshells, right? And the rhythm that exists in this space that I don't want to piss this one off. I don't want to say this under that one. Oh, Lord. Oh, I wonder what they can say. Do you think the show was good today? You think I should have said that? Oh, my God. That's what exists in this environment. How in the world are we going to have a transparent conversation that really sees us growing? I thought about that. And I've thought about that for a great deal of conversations that's going to happen in the future. But I know that there's some elements that is consistent in who we are as a people. We, as the majority black nation, suffer some of the same ills that are happening in Jamaica, that are happening in Ghana, that are happening in other spaces. We suffer some of these same things. And so people on the ground in those spaces, professional people, can give their honest opinion to what's happening with us in the black diaspora. That's how I found this man. And so when I say that to you, I say to you, are we always going to kind of skim around the edges and never dive deep in the middle of a real conversation that matters? We've been on this radio from 1993. And we've been saying the same thing, regurgitating it from one show to another, from one host to another. But the question is, have we gotten to any resolve? I don't think so, because I don't think we've ever really struck a nerve the way that it needs to be struck to see the change that we deserve, that we envision, that we've been praying for, that we've been crying at 3:30 in the morning for on our knees. Let's talk about that. Let me see if I can get a call on the line. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
All is well. Now, I will admit that you sound good.
Thank you, my
okay?
brother. Okay?
Okay. But I think, you know, there's a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
These conversations you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
people must be prepared to have them. Okay? Now, up to now, historically, our politicians, our leaders have been good talkers, you know. Now, I see the Prime Minister is on a track right now, you know, where he is making a lot of sense and he's saying a lot of things. But 6 months from now, are these conversations he is putting forth? You know, I think, you know, we be playing this game in terms of what a nation is supposed to look like, right? But we have forgotten one thing that is key. We must be intentional. Mm-hmm. Okay, we must be prepared to carry out what we do. It's a whole Ingram thing. Mm-hmm. I say as I say, as I do as I do. Mm-hmm. You know, until we're prepared to have that kind of, conversation, our leaders, PLP, FNM, DNA, they would find it convenient to kick this can down the road. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to what you got to say, buddy.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Right. Guys, you know what to do. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Prime Minister, Friday, February 24th, 2023, The Guardian. Make sure you pick up your paper. Prime Minister changes tune to suit his audience. Watson explains Davis's shift in discuss and shantytown issues. We had the text the other day. You remember the text? A few months ago, we didn't have a immigration crisis. Now, all of a sudden, we have a crisis. Why? Was it different? We had a text the other day. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is yet another example of the reaction. Okay. And decency in an order, we can lay this thing out and put it on the table. And decency in an order. We can start from the inception of the campaign. And it didn't start. It started some time back. It started with the reforming of the way that we viewed the PLP. So they changed that internally. They went to caucus. They dealt with their constitution. They identify young persons. They made modifications to the constitution. They created a space where you, if you wanted to be a candidate, there was a certification that you had to become to go through as an aspirant candidate. They laid out a few things. It was sort of the law being laid down, right? And I could tell you the truth, Howard Grant, watch me. I'm watching this whole thing and I'm saying, I wonder if the PLP is going to deal with this concept of corruption in the organization and be able to deal with that head first. So I'm watching the whole thing, right? I see, I like how the PLP doing it. Then they came up with a New Day campaign. The feel of the campaign, the bold block letters of the campaign, the sunshine that actually came up in the background, the ideas, the words, the consistency, ride the wave with brave, these concepts and so forth and so on. This campaign is undeniable. This is a very strong campaign. I feel like we as a nation, we can identify the strength of your campaign and make a determination whether or not you're going to be the government. And I think that's just a part of the package of the inevitable. Because the inevitable is that we're not voting for the government of the day. We're voting against the government of the day. So the inevitability of the shift is what we've seen over the past 20 years, right? But the New Day campaign was amazing. And I knew that youth was strategically involved in this. And I said, I like what the PLP is doing. They're putting youth in. They're doing a wonderful job. I like what they're doing. I got some snip and little, what we used to call gap seed about who has been identified to move in strategic positions, right? And so as the change came and things transitioned, we saw the Office of the Prime Minister identify particular persons, right? We saw this position where Clint Watson would have been able to get in there. We saw the Trey got something to do in there. We saw, as they were furnishing the boards and the different divisions of government, we saw youth. I said, this is absolutely amazing. This government could, my God, they're putting youth into place. And this is one of the issues that we have with youth. Their tenacity, their creativity is one thing, but their inexperience is a whole different. And we're seeing that in the newspapers almost daily now. Their inexperience with issues that really matter and how you grapple those things. Because foundationally, while as we continue to talk about technology and being able to craft these campaigns for being able to deal with, let's say, illegal immigration, there's only a couple of things that you can do, and it must go back to the base. Get these people out your country. It only goes back to the base. All this talking and all this kind of a reactive backsliding thing is not going to be able to deal with all that stuff. And I think what we talked about the other day, getting the old guard out, you need them for times as these. What did you do in the past to get rid of these things? You take 4,000 out and you rally around the idea that we've taken 4,000 and some out. And in January, I sure we had half of them come here. Come on, talk to me. Let's have a very clear conversation as to whether or not the temperature has shifted for the Progressive Liberal Party. And that's all this is. And the question is whether or not you have the strength and the wherewithal to make the decisions that matter for change. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Don't you feel as though that politics has become a religion, particularly on a global scale where we have this divisiveness? When I'm in, I satisfy those who voted for me and neglect those who didn't. My church, what I'm teaching is right. And
you know what's crazy?
The road, what they're teaching is wrong.
You know what's crazy? You use the comparison of politics and then you say division. I mean, politics and religion, and then you say division as though religion is designed to divide. And I feel it does. I feel
but
it does.
Doesn't religion divide us?
It does.
Well, okay then. And politics is doing the same thing because I know family members who fight because one is PLC and one is FNM. And I mean, politics seems to be
you ain't talking
bad
about no,
for the world.
This ain't no proverbial fight. This blows.
Yeah,
and
no,
you're close.
No, seriously, think about it. Look at the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yes.
There is politics up there and there's religion in that because there's some God who took side with Abraham's seed mm-hmm. and the hell did the rest. Mm-hmm. So division was started from the creator mm-hmm. and God being the generator, the operator, and the destroyer. You probably ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Generator, operator, and destroyer.
You never heard that before, eh?
But that's supremacy.
But obviously it has been to generate, which is to do something, to operate that you did, and then get rid of it.
That's all-encompassing supremacy. You could create and you could destroy.
But don't you need a destroyer to destroy what you created? Do you think the same person who created is the one who's destroying it?
I feel as though, I can give you an example. I can give you a church example, right? Like, let me be decent as best I can. I feel as though a man's need to be recognized and identified as a supreme authority supersedes the objectives that he's been given, supersedes the constitution that lays out, supersedes everything else because he's wrapped up in the power that he tasted. And I believe that that's what we're seeing here in this country, and that's what we're seeing in the world at large. I keep telling people Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ from inception, based upon the stories that we've read. And even he came here and did less than a 5-year term and was done with what he had to do and said greater works than these he should also do.
Well, every place where he walked is catching hell today.
That's crazy.
Think about that for a minute. Obviously, if he was so great and where he stepped his foot on, it should be peace.
Wow.
So I put it to you, Howard, and you could prove me wrong. Lucifer was thrown out of heaven onto this planet Earth. And I put it to you that that very same baby that came through Mary, Lucifer, just as he beat Adam to it, he beat Joseph to it. Have a good day.
You are wild with this thing. This is crazy what you're doing today. Not based upon the doctrine that I've read. My God, are we going to get in church today? Yo, we get a Bible study today? Right? Is that what we're going to do today? This is wild. But I like how we're thinking, guys. Let's take this quick commercial break and get right back, guys. This is a casual Friday. We're having a very good conversation. Lines are going to be wide open. The lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you know what to do. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text 422-4796, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, The Foundation. We'll be right back after this.
The Foundation.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Whether your business is in-store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Excuse me for mute interruption. Before you come, and a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please come over the lawn. You're going to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 liter. And it's a DJ Talk Sweeter. See Lord, them just are up with the
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last few minutes before we get out of here for news. I just wanted to kind of put this out there. We're having a conversation. The lines are wide open today if you want to be able to kind of chime in. I'd love you to do that. Come on, man. Can we just listen, man? Listen to me, you know. I give God praise for liberation and not this superficial concept and idea of self-governing liberating. Man, let's get deep and heavy, but your situation. I give God praise for the shackles, right, of being affixed or yoked to a particular thing that you know you ain't gonna move with. Yeah, man, of course, all of us looking for more money. We're looking for this, that, and the other. But when are we going to get to the point where we can be able to open our mouth and touch what is really ours? Why is it that we jive with what really matters in this country? Do you know that life and death is in your tongue? Do you know that you charge the environment with your words? And I'm not talking about these words where you try to pull down someone. I'm talking of fixing your mind and heart to the fact that there must be a greater objective here. There must be a reason that I exist. And being able to speak to those things and watch them come to pass. Every single one of us have that strength and power. And unless and until we start to talk about these things and deal with these things accordingly, we will always have the exact issue. Our children should not look back at us with a side eye and say, "What the hell did you do when you were there? Shut up. You didn't do anything when we were there." Because that's where we are. We, 40 years old, looking back at y'all, as the older generation said, "What the hell did y'all do? How do you expect me to live here? How? How do you expect me to live here that y'all let a black government take advantage of us like this?" We got to right our wrongs. We have to. And it starts with transparency. It starts with vulnerability.
Hello.
Grant, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Salvin.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey there, man. What are we talking about today? We talking about
the lines are open.
Food too today?
If you want to talk about that, go ahead. I'm not going to fight you, sir.
Okay, okay.
Go ahead, sir. I guess you got to get your notepad. I don't know what he's doing, right? Some people, it's like, yeah, Howard, I wanted to tell you. And hold on, one more thing. I don't know what you're doing, but get your notes together and then call back, right? I ain't messing with you, man. Guys, give us a call. Listen, man, I just how I feel about this, man. I do. We have to be the liberators of ourselves. We're affixed to a concept and an idea. We like a goat tied to a tree. Or maybe that's not a good analogy. We like a horse tied to one of those, those little small plastic chairs. The first tug we feel on our mouth, we feel like, okay, well, I better not move. The first resistance that we feel, we keep still. And so despite our enormity, despite our strength, our unifying strength, the body of who we are, what we've amassed over the years, the education, the position that we've had as Bahamians, the horse, we're affixed to this small thing that we control, that we move, but at the first sight of resistance, we say, well, I guess I better leave that alone. This is wild. What is the next generation going to think of us, man? Let's take this telephone call before we go to break. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, we talking about the food. You know, when we was growing up, you talk about your grandmother, about the pig feet and the pickle structures, the pickle eggs, and the pickle pig feet, right? But you know, when we was growing up, we know about the pumpkin and grits, the white bean and rice, the bean soup, the split pea soup, the jack fish. You hardly can find any of these things now today in a Bahamian restaurant because we are stray away from our food. Mm-hmm. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, I understand you. I'm right here with you.
We we are stray away. Right now you got those other people in the Bahamas. They do not leave their culture, their food. They eat their food. You go in certain restaurants, those people who are here, their whole menu is about their culture. We going into their culture, eating their food. But our food? No. You got the little children now growing up, they don't know nothing but no pumpkin and grits, pumpkin and rice, split pea soup. That is foreign in them. That sound like you talking something foreign to them. Because we have done a bad work in how we have grown up our young youths. All they come up, they know about the burgers, they know about the other Chinese food or whatever. But you understand what I'm saying?
I like what you're saying. You know? I really do. I agree with you.
Before I go, what that gentleman said, the last caller you had, when he talked about Satan. You know, sometimes we have disrespect for a holy God to know that. What did he said? He was wrong. But, you know, sometimes we don't understand that the word of God say that baby that Mary was carrying, that child was a holy child from God. You hear me? God, that he had nothing to do with me. Mary was only the carrier. No sex was involved in that. God was in that body, operating that body. But you got people today, they say all kind of things and believe that we could get away, how we disrespect the word of God and what we say. People in Bahamas, we have to be careful how we handle the word of God. If we don't know something, don't have nothing to say.
Study to show yourself approved. You got to study to show yourself approved. That's what the word of God says to us.
Yes, sir.
I can come back right on that number. I thank you so much, my brother, for your telephone call. You know it's 1 o'clock, guys, so we'll be able to take a quick worship break for news, and then we're going to be back to that. But I want to touch that when we come back. I'm going to write that down to see if we can be able to touch that. Because I don't think that we as a people just want to kind of disrespect God. I think there is a pursuit that we're looking for. And sometimes you agitate to see if you get a response. Let's see if we can do that and get back, guys. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant, 96.9 FM Radio. Take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you. On the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Boy, come and the way reminded to say this coming Friday. I'm please gonna roll the blunt. You went to the man number one town round town.
I did so Friday evening. Boom!
The people them tired of working.
Bada bada, Lord, them hear the disco playing.
Boom! It made them feel like dancing.
Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator.
5 double 18 and a 6 3.
This is a digital sweeter.
See London just a up with the echo chamber.
Watch your man, play the play.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, your company, The Foundation, chopping it down on this casual Friday, being able to just kind of, the lines are open if you want to have a conversation with me. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or hit us up on the text line, 422-4796. And when we were leaving, you know, I had a caller that talked about, now listen, man, this Casual Friday, we can do this, right? This laid back, we can talk like this. Let's talk like this. We right here, I right here with you. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, now watch it. I've often said on this space that every man is in pursuit, man, every male seed is in pursuit of a higher calling. Not that the women aren't. This is not me dismissing or being misogynistic or, you know, segregating the conversation at all. I'm saying to you as men, based upon my studies, every man is in pursuit of this call. As a father, we often seek a father to yield ourselves to. That's how we learn. We learn from the prior generation. And based upon this succession, we know that there must be something higher than us as men. Now, many of us, it's kind of, we play with it in our subconscious. If no one has given us the formal training, teaching, and an understanding and introduced this to us. So there's something in us that this kind of a hole that exists that we seek to fill. And we know that money can't fill it. Sex can't fill it. Drugs and alcohol can't fill this. But it's an insatiable desire for more. There is a quench, a thirst that we have. Every man. For more of this. We can't fill it with just the superficial aspects. No matter if we love, fall in love, whilst this is great, there's still this yearning and desire that exists in us. Y'all follow me. In that pursuit, we try to find out God. And in our community and society, a great deal of us would have heard about God. But hearing about God is not enough. We need to experience Him for ourselves. He needs to be real to me. So when I pray to my Father's God, I seek for Him to be real to me in this modern day and time. The translation. God of the universe, my Father has told me about you. He said you did a great deal of things for Him. I am here now with my needs. I seek you to help me in these things. Okay. There's a story that I know of. I could tell you this a few times. There's a story that I know of a friend that I had. He passed away from HIV. And in his last days of before he passed away, he would come, which I thought was weird. He would just stop by my house in Eight Maroc and kind of hail me, right? I didn't know he was, I just did not know that he was sick or he was going anywhere. But he stopped by and he hailed me. And he was very encouraging, very smart guy. And he says, Howard, keep fighting. Howard, you know, do the thing that God has called you to do, boom, boom, boom. And then we would just talk, and he would tell me about stories that he was molested as a child, and as a result of his molestation. Because, you know, based upon how I talk, I don't want you to believe that I'm just doing this on the radio. I talk to people like this. And in conversations, the guy says to me that he was molested as a child, and as he cried out and cried out and cried out, no one helped. God never showed up. These things didn't happen. So in pursuit of his Father's God, in the midst of his tribulation, when he needed a Savior, no one ever showed up. And that pursuit led him to go contrary to what he would have known or learned about God. If you're still here with me. As a result of that, he, you know, when he felt his mortality coming to an end, then he acknowledged these things and started to have these kind of a conversation. And sometimes men would say, okay, I was wrong for this, I was wrong for that, in reconciliation and preparation to meet your maker. What did the gentleman talked about when he called, if you're just tuning in, the gentleman called and started to talk about the idea of every place that Jesus' foot touched, there's tribulation, there's turmoil there now. And then he contrasts that and say how Adam, how the devil beat Adam to the punch by being able to get to Eve, the same thing happened to Jesus. These are speculations. There's the speculatory. These are his particular concepts and ideas, and a lot of us try to craft these things to make sense of what we've been fed over the years. But the gentleman just started to talk and call about the disrespect, or rather disregard, that people have in these particular spaces. I wanted to write that down. The disrespect or disregard for the Word of God or God himself is as a result of him not showing up for you when you want it, how you want it. That's what I've come to, that kind of a conclusion with a great deal of us as men. You needed him at a particular time. You were in a crunch, in a bad position, and you needed him to show up at this time. And because he didn't, then you start to question whether or not his existence even really, if it's really there. And the detachment or the going contrary or the drifting from this course that you were on, that you were taught, and in pursuing real divinity in your mind, has led you on a course contrary. I can't fight you. I think all of us are looking for an answer. And the only thing I can say is that a relationship is more important. I need a relationship. No one ever said to me it was going to be easy. I think I was mistaken in believing that this life was going to be easy. I think I had it good under the safety and security of the family that loved me as a child. But as I grew and tribulation started punching me left, right, and center, the only thing that it did was cause me to get closer and enrich my faith. It didn't cause me to go contrary. I didn't say that it caused me to be perfect, because I had a taste of this and a taste of that and test this and test that. And the only thing I knew, I felt that hole that I had being filled when I put faith in it, when I aligned with purpose, when I knew that there was something bigger. And so I say that to say a lot of these things happen. And I want to tell you these stories, man. I just met somebody out there at my church yesterday, out in Pinewood. And, you know, the lady came up to me and asked me for some money. So I said, what happened to you? She said, when she's broken. And I don't want to, you know, give all this information out, because this is real stories that we're talking about. And there's an incident that happened to her at the age of 10. This is what she's telling me. I prefer not to go into the details. And from 10 years old to now, she has been consuming narcotics and alcohol to fill that void, to forget about it. And every time she get wet up and fall down, I said to her, every time you get wet up and fall down, you fall on the side of the garbage and you fall out. When you wake up, the thing right there to touch you on your shoulder. We cannot get rid of our issues and the tribulation that we suffer with ingesting narcotics. We cannot. We got to talk like this. I think our entire country, our people, seeks to inebriate themselves because we've been lied to by politicians for years. The hope that our mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandparents have told us that we can be able to embrace, that we could seek, that we could look for in this country has never come. The opportunities that they spoke of, the education and being able to see this bright, better country, has never come. And we seek to forget about it. It's time for us to heal. We have to heal. If we're going to see ourselves grow over the next 50 years, we must heal. And religion cannot do that for us. How are you talking? Are you talking good? How are we talking? It's Friday, baby. We can have this conversation. Religion cannot do that. The religion, which is a rigid tradition of how men did these things in the past, and this is what, blah, blah, blah. No, religion cannot do that for us. We've rejected relationship and leaned on religion. The only thing that can get us right is relationship. Let me take this telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead. That's a caller calling you on the line with us live. Go ahead. No? 325-435-6325-4259. Hit me up on the text 422-4796. Let me read a few of these texts and see if we can get what we got going on. It says, great show as usual, Howard. You married a Cuban woman. I am so proud of you. The good work, and you will have more kids. My wife is not a Cuban. She's not a Cuban. She's a Pacetti. Her people is, well, you know, based upon the stories, the Pacettis come from Cuba. So essentially, I may have married a Cuban offspring, right? So it says, let's see if you can read the next one. Say, how are they going to baptize you in holy water for entertaining that man's truth, right? I don't, you know, people say that that's my truth. How the hell can truth, how can you be able to see the, how can you say that this is your truth? Truth is an overarching thing for everyone to see. Truth is like a bold rainbow in the sky. All of us can, no, I maybe shouldn't use that analogy. Truth is like something that's absolutely undeniable, like the blue sky. You can't deny that. You can see that. You can't have a version of truth that you assign to yourself. That's your facts. So when people say your truth, why do you say that? That's not your truth. That's not truth. Your truth is a lie. You're lying to you, first and foremost. And then you expect me to accept this foolishness. This is wild to me. This is the age that we live in now. People want you to see what you could possibly, you absolutely see this. I can see this. And you want me to call it something different. What the hell are you saying, sir? I can see this. And they're doing that with all orientations, all mindsets, all concepts and this and that. We've done this as a child. You remember Drop Dead Fred? Do you remember the movie Drop Dead Fred? Does anybody remember that? Drop Dead Fred was an imaginary friend that this little girl had. He would come in and dirty up the house and destroy everything and all these things like that. And no one could see Drop Dead Fred except this little girl. They made an entire movie about this fictional character. And this is the life that we live today. These fictional characters come to life in your mind, and I'm supposed to acknowledge this foolishness. This is bananas. Where do we live? This is crazy. There was a clinical diagnosis for people like that at one point. But now we're supposed to accept these things because that's his truth. My truth is I'm slim. Can you address me accordingly, please? Let's just shoot straight. From this point forward, when you see Howard, you said, hey, Slim, how you let's shoot straight. Let's shoot straight. When you see me, you see me in accordance. If you see me eating crack conk, you just identify that as a salad, okay? This is a salad. It's not crack conk and fries. Is that the life that we live now? This is bananas. This is crazy. Let's read the next text. It says, perhaps the prime minister can take a cue from his deputy. It is possible to do your job by doing your job and responding to the demands and not getting tied up in the reactive elements. Every situation has two sides. There is no need to be restricting access to anything. It all comes out eventually. Right? Let it come out while you are able to do something. Do not let your adversaries write your history. That's a text that came through. Let's read another one. This is Happy 242 Day, Howard. Again, and blessings to you and counting those to celebrate the things Bahamian. Let's celebrate traditional Bahamian storytelling. Can some Bahamians listening call in and share any of their old parents or grandparents' stories about Jack Mulatin? It's described as a weird, large, strange light that would suddenly appear out of the blue in the night sky. Can some folks listening chime in and share their stories from the old people about Jack Mulatin? Right? That's a text that came through. It says, Howard, I don't have a bank account, but I need the cash. and a cash to need the cash at cashier's check sent to me from a relative in America. Where can I go to cash it, please? Thank you. I do not know. I do not know. And I'm thinking that this is one of the issues that we have. I do not know. I don't know. It says, Howard, great show, Slim. So which one am I lying about? Whether it's a great show or whether I'm slim, right? Either way, this is what we're going to say. The pronouncements we're going to make, it's going to be positive, right? Guys, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. It's a casual Friday. We're having a conversation, kind of chopping it down and really talking about where we are and where we got to be. And I think that we just got to start having real conversations about where we are. I think that our forefathers, I had some people come here with me a few years back. Young people, right? I brought in on the show with Rush Hour. You probably can find it in the archives. I brought in an FNM, a PLP, a DNA at the time. I don't think the COI was even formed. I know that we were hearing a lot about Lincoln Bean and his sort of agitation. He's always been out there, but I don't think anything was formed. So I brought in an FNM, a PLP, DNA. Young, right? So I called all the parties and I say, hey, send me one of your young guys. We can have a conversation. Send me a young guy, young girl, someone. We can have a conversation. We want to talk like this, right? And some persons, they sent me. They came in with sort of a script, right? Whether written or otherwise. They came in with a script, which is the bullet points of the kind of a conversation that you want to be able to hit, right? And so there's always these bullet points that you need to hit, and then they kind of school you of how to be able to contrast these all. So they're essentially teaching you how to be traditional in your political thinking and your approach to politics. So the guys came here with me and we had a conversation. Boom, I went to break. And I said, let me explain something to y'all, right? And you remember, they would remember. They know who they are. I said, let me explain something to you. No one cares about your 1987 talking points that you're bringing on the radio. Unless, I said, the reason I called you as a young person is because of your perspective. You can be able to tell me what you see in your environment. Now, if you're going to come here and say to me what has been said from 1987, from 1982, and bring the exact same thing, then I don't think I need you. I might as well go get one of these older fellas. I'm calling you for your perspective and your approach of how to be able to deal with these things. Now, if you can't say that, then I don't think you should be here in the first place. If your party doesn't allow you to say that, then you need to reconsider whether or not you should even be a part of the party. I said, but there, this generation needs something from you. And if you're moving in this space, you're going to have to find your identity, your voice, and find issues that matter to us. If you keep saying the same thing these old fellas say, then where are we going to go? That's you know, straight up, I had a conversation with them. Some of them I see no more. They never come back. But one or two of them changed their tune. I care not to say who they are, but we've identified these particular persons to have a unique perspective and a strong voice to be able to speak about issues that matter to us now. I cannot ingest another morsel of this garbage that continues to be able to be fed to us as Bahamian people. This soup, this porridge of yesteryear. This melting pot, mixing bowl of manure of yesteryear that's being fed into the next generation. Devoid of introspection. Devoid of issues that matter for growth. The growth of not just of the environment externally, but the growth of the human man. Of a human being. When are we going to understand, unless and until we look within us? We're not going to change the environment externally. I told you that's the principle of customer service. That's the principle. Every principle that you've seen, it starts inside. I cannot say that we could fix this thing externally unless I deal with this thing on the inside. No political organization in this country can say they have the answer to fix anything in this country because they have yet to fix their party. The FNM have major issues inside the organization right now. Major. The PLP have major issues inside the organization right now. And the reason why you can look at the COI and say they have potential is because the major issues have not come to the forefront. They have not identified those things. They unify around a particular thing, and they're dealing with that accordingly right now. But when they get settled, talk to me, when they get settled, issues will pop up on the inside. And unless and until they deal with that, they won't be the next government of the Bahamas. The DNA, which I believe, without being able to pronounce it, I don't know if they've pronounced the thing, has been dissolved. Talk to me. Y'all got the numbers. You know what to say. I haven't heard anything from the DNA. I know some fellas who've attached themselves to the DNA. Say the phone line up. I knew you wouldn't talk about it now. The fella I know, he's been attached to the DNA, right? I know these people. Before, we would have nice intellectual conversations about where we need to go and what we need to do in the country and so forth and so on. As soon as they find themselves among the rank of the DNA, they mad at me. What you mad at me for? You know you're supposed to be here helping other parties. Are you out of your mind, sir? You mean me who moved to Nassau to help the DNA? And the first thing they say is I had to pay dues when I didn't have a job? Are you out of your mind, sir? An organization who is more concerned about being able to make money than being able to pour into the lives of people. An organization that didn't give us anything when we were candidates in Grand Bahama and we had to go hustle to be able to pay the young single mothers who walk with us every Jesus day. Are you out of your mind, sir? Me? Who changed my whole trajectory of what I was doing to come here to support a party who didn't support itself? Are you out of your mind? Let's talk straight. Unless you deal with the internal issues in your organization, none of you, why does the Bahamian people keep voting for you? You do not have the answers to take us to where we're supposed to be. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Let's shoot straight, man. One thing about me is I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. I don't thief. I ain't thief nothing from nobody. I ain't no molester. I ain't none of these things. I can be honest with you as a married man, and I try every Jesus day to do the right thing. Every day. To be an upstanding citizen, decent in this country, for my children's children. I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to go. I was born here. My children was born here. And we need to create an environment that they could be able to be successful in. All we're doing is having a new dispensation, new level of slaves. That's how I view us, man. It's just a new form of slavery that attaches technology, that attaches modern, this kind of a modern concept. But we all are still shackled. And I no better time to have this conversation than now. Did you really look into yourself to find out whether or not we're doing the right thing? Our politicians have failed us. They have. They have. And anyone that has the gonads to speak up and speak out, they suffocate them. And you've seen that. And while you clap for them under their political organization and say, oh my God, I know this one can be the one to cause the change inside the organization, then whoosh, we don't hear from them anymore. Because they cut off. Where is Makupai? Where is he? His agitation, whilst may still be vibrant in his space that he lives in, has gone from the national stage. Thanks for dialing the show. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Howard Grant.
Hey, that's me.
How you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic, man. What's happening?
Well, you're talking truth to the people right now.
Let's do it.
Indeed you are. And I am highly appalled at that gentleman who called and spoke about the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought that was out to have no reverence for the Holy Spirit as such.
Mm-hmm.
And we are people that have to really consider how we utter certain things when it comes to God. But I implore you to continue your progress, sir, and do well, eh?
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much. Guys, we only have a small time on this earth, man. So many of us are wrapped up in legacy and being viewed in a particular manner. You do everything to be propelled as God, small g. You do everything to be viewed as... And you know, what blows my mind is that the enormity of life and the confined space of these small islands, these islands and rocks, and the belief that after you're propelled locally, that you take on the cloak of supremacy, but you have yet to experience what real life is. You ain't traveled nowhere. You've done nothing. We ain't gone nowhere. We haven't experienced anything. A great deal of men and women who have an opportunity to be able to go elsewhere has done so off the dime of the Bahamian people. And then come back and speak to us condescendingly. Sir, we paid for your ticket. Do you know that? Do you know that? The experiences that you had is as a result of the monies that we've paid for you. Not to come back here and speak down to us. Not to come back here and cherry pick and curry favor who you desire to be able to be there and put your cousin in these particular positions and places. We have to talk, man. And we have to be real about these things. And unless and until we, as the proverbial horse, recognizes that these chairs, these lawn chairs that we are fixed to, that we're attached to, we can move them. We have a unifying strength. Guys, it's Casual Fridays, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
It's the time of year again, and Rev wants to send you and the guests to Portland for the NBA VIP All Access Experience. Rev customers can enter to win an all expense paid trip for two to see the Boston Celtics and the LA Clippers take on the Portland Trail Blazers March 14th to March 20th. Sign up or upgrade to Rev Trio Plus today to enter to win the NBA VIP All Access Experience to Portland. Rev, made for the game.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk,
quality. Time to celebrate, 2 for today. Proud to be a beaming in every way, 2 for today. Time to celebrate, 2 for today. Proud to be a beaming in every way.
Colors be patriotic, cause we bout to get loose. Someone say, how loose? Loose like Bohemian Goose. February the 24th, 2023. Music, food, and entertainment happening this Friday. It's gonna be 10 beautiful colors displayed by beautiful people. Proud to be a Bohemian in love and service again, one people. Officially, we'll represent in every way. February the 24th. Two for today. Time to celebrate. Two for today. Proud to be a beaming in every way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 2 for 2 day, this beautiful Friday. Hope you kind of set up. We talked about that. Go do something nice, man. Get yourself a little Kong salad. Get yourself, stuffed crab. I don't know. You'll eat that thing, right? Whatever you do, make sure you go there and enjoy that. I feel like a pickled pig feet may be a part of your thing. it's maybe one of the things that you do, or pickled egg. Because when I was growing up, this is wild. This is wild. What is Grammy doing? The lines are wide open today. If you want to have a conversation and kind of chop some things down, you want to do that. I'm just reading something here from the Office of the Prime Minister. Press Secretary announces new appointments for the Prime Minister's post office. Journalist and former news anchor Keishla Adderley has been appointed Deputy Press Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister. Adderley has been instrumental in the press office in 2022, producing documentaries, providing coverage for the Prime Minister Davis, writing and helping to set up new departments for the Office of the Prime Minister, and also C. Gillian Gray has been appointed Chief Press Officer in the Office of the Prime Minister. Gray is a broadcast journalist of 10 years in the field of media as a reporter and anchor of our news. So these are persons in there being able to do some things. Can we talk about something? Let me take this telephone call. Then we talk about something. Can we talk about strategic concept and divide to be able to absorb into the fold in expectation for, let's take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line? You're on the line with us live? I'm fantastic, man. What's happening?
Everything good. I think it's time now for the Bahamas to start thinking out of the box. It's time to build a new city in North Andres where we can have expressways, we can have new industries, we can have a whole entire new Bahamas in North Andres. Because Andres has a lot of virgin land, right? Nassau is overpopulated. It's not overpopulated. Now, somebody think about North Andres, okay? And I think it will help catapult the Bahamas to the new world. Because we have the farming industry we can bring back, and we can have some cannon industries and other entrepreneurial industries along with some major industrial industries. What do you think about that, Howard?
I like it. I like your concept and idea, but, you know, reality going to have to be able to shake us up. First and foremost, I want to talk about your analogy. You said Andres have a lot of virgin land, and then you went to Nassau. So it'll have to be the opposite of virgin land. Talk to me. Let me hear about it.
Let me give you a prime example. When my father used to work and live in North Andres as a mechanic, I went with him one morning. 6:30 we left from San Andres. We went all the way to the western side of Andres on the tractor trailer, taking a tractor to continue to cut the road in the back there. It took us from 6:30. We reached in the back there after 3:30 that afternoon. So
really?
That you can imagine the land that we have in North Andres that is virgin.
Wow. Yeah, well, I like it, but I think we have to. Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. I think we have to come to a reality. I really wanted to get Mario Carey in here. There was an article that I read the other day from Eyewitness News that spoke to the concept and idea of being able to do a double lane out west as a way that we could be able to. It was creative, I guess. I know a lot of persons would have talked about it, but it started to talk about an express lane that can be able to alleviate some of the traffic that exists in these areas. I think the bill that he put to it, if I'm correct, reading the story, was about $12 million. I reached out to him, asked him if he wanted to kind of sit with me. You know, he's a realtor. And he says, not at this time, Howard, but I'll definitely be able to kind of do something as time progresses. Okay, no problem, Mark. Mario Carey. I say, okay, no problem. We can do that. But I start to think about these things. The conversation that we've been having about Gladstone Road and the lanes that were supposed to exist in this particular space to make some things happen in terms of moving forward. Listen, you can have 8,674 lanes. If it all goes to a bottleneck, we're going to have the exact same problem. Let's just shoot straight. The issue is the transition into the main highway. There has to be some overpass. There has to be an opportunity to be able to do things like that. And unless and until we're talking about those things, then what are we talking about? And the core of it here is that whilst a lot of us can talk about the futuristic ideas, because, you know, it ain't cost nothing to have this good conversation. We can talk. It's free. But when we start moving, we can't take care of the land and the road here. How we can build a whole city elsewhere? Where we can get the money from? We got to talk like that. We can't do the things that needs to be done here in the city that actually makes money for us. How do we transition into another space? Where do we get the injection from? We don't have any oil. We have refused to identify the aragonite and other minerals that exist in our space to be able to utilize them. The carbon credits that we can be able to utilize to do those things. The mangroves, to this, to that. We've refused to kind of really take an account of the worth and value of these things and put ourselves in different positions. So it's going to be very difficult for us to do these, to move in the direction like that. I think it's a good idea. I do. I think all of us out here from different family islands have a heart, have a dream in our hearts about going back home to put an Airbnb, to do something like this, to do something like that. No, but it can't happen. Because as soon as you start to count the cost, for me to be able to put an Airbnb in the bush where I come from, I got to pay for X amount of poles. Hold on, just to think about the cost associated with infrastructural development. You say, Jesus, I don't, whoa, I don't know if I could do that. $3 a block. Where you can get the money from? Who can give you the money? Let's talk like this, man. Hey, I don't disagree with you, you know. I'm right here with you. Where we can get the money from? And that's why I keep saying to y'all, we continue to be in this position. Anyone could talk about innovation and creativity. Successive governments have come and said, Bohemian people need to be more innovative and creative. We could come with all the ideas in the world. Listen, we could turn water and air into gold. And this is how we can do it. It can take an investment of nothing more than $150,000. And nobody can touch that. Where you can get the money from? Let's talk about these things. Let's take a next telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hi.
What's up, bro?
All is well.
Good. Just let me address a gentleman that called about three persons ago.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he believes that evil is still present because Christ was there, you got to understand now, Christ gave men free will.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to take the opportunity when it comes to you not to do evil. Not because he is God, he stops you.
Mm-hmm.
He provides an avenue for you to do the right thing. And if you decide not to do it, that is what creates the evil. And this is why evil is still in places where Christ said his foot. It has nothing to do with Christ. He provided an avenue out. But free will is what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
You were speaking just now on relation to what we can do with the country. We have an $8 trillion inventory worldwide as it relates to the carbon credits. The Bahamas owns about 38% of that. You do the maths.
Mm.
But that is not really what I call for. All right? But it's just something for you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, the problem with this country is that we are not honest enough. We have leaders in government that go there, but they are not honest. Okay? Prior to 1985,
mm-hmm.
As it relates to people from Hispaniola West, they were the only ones who were able to apply for permanent residency.
Mm-hmm.
Anything beyond 1985, there are only two documents that they can receive from the Bahamas government right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is a work permit or a permit to reside. A work permit will allow them to work, and a permit to reside would allow them to live but not work. Reason being, as of June 19, 2012, they are not allowed to renounce their citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people don't like to hear that,
mm-hmm.
but that's the truth. Article 7.1 in our Constitution says that the only way you can become a Bahamian citizen is if you are able to renounce the citizenship of your country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
Howard?
Yeah, right here. I listen to you.
And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know. If you were to look at the John Rooney case that came back, it was argued in July of last year. The judgment came back on the 15th of December, 2022. Both the appellate, the attorneys for the appellate, and the respondent both agreed that Rooney did not apply in time to get to be entitled to have citizenship in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That's between the age of 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. The Privy Council has already settled on that because both parties agreed to that. The only thing that now is in contention is permanent residency for Rooney. That's why it was sent back to Judge Hilton's court. The hold up on that is that the court is not sure that the date of birth that Gene Rooney gave to the officers, the immigration officers, when he was arrested, mm-hmm. is the actual date that he presented in the court. The date that he gave of his date of birth was the 1st of December, 1985. Mm-hmm. The court document showed that is the 5th of December, 1982. Now, why is that important? If the date that Gene Rooney gave to the courts of the 5th of December, the 1st of December, 1985, is accurate, then he does not qualify for permanent residency. Mm-hmm. He will not qualify because our law states that prior to 1985, it's continuous residence. You can get permanent residency for Haitians if you go before a notary public and with an exclusion of a passport, so you wouldn't need a passport for that. So this is why it's going back to Hilton to determine through habeas corpus if what he is saying concerning his birth date is actual. Mm-hmm. Now, let me put it to you like this. When K.C. Poole was at the Privy Council level arguing with K.C. Smith and K.C. Fitzgerald, which they both agreed that Rooney should not get citizenship, the argument came from Article 7 of the Constitution of the Bahamas. K.C. Poole, he could have argued any of two arguments. He chose the earlier one. The second argument he could have argued, which the appellate attorneys agreed on, was that, listen, can Rooney renounce his citizenship? Fred Smith and K.C. Fitzgerald would have had to say no. Once they said no, the results would have been the same. He cannot be a citizen.
Wow.
I don't know why the government chose the avenue of the 18 and 19 when there was two articles in Article 7, and either one of them would have denied Rooney his citizenship. Let me tell you something here. Lawfully, these people are on slippery ground. If I was an attorney and had my law degree, I would have fight this case pro bono.
Because you sound fluid in the thing.
For the Bahamian government.
Yeah.
See, you check Article 7. If he had used the other argument, can Rooney renounce? Fred Smith, them had to tell the Privy Council no. Him and 16 other countries, Haiti along with 16 other countries, cannot renounce. If you cannot renounce, that is a prerequisite. You must be able to renounce to get citizenship. Case over. So, why this came up to me? I was looking in The Guardian yesterday. They're still naturalizing people from Hispaniola West.
I see that.
Right?
I see that.
That is treasonous.
I see that.
That is, and look at the age of the people. They're 18.
Yeah.
So, the Minister of Immigration is committing a treasonous act.
Wow.
Because the Privy Council judgment has already said,
wow,
that beyond the age of 19, it can't happen. That's the ruling in December.
Wow.
But yet, if you look in every paper every day, they still naturalizing people.
Yeah.
What are they using? Right? The Naturalization Act, which is fraudulent.
Wow.
Everything in that Naturalization Act that they pass, Article 4, is fraudulent.
The Constitution of Haiti. So the Constitution of Haiti would be the supreme constitution of the people that it's governed. So it goes beyond anything that we can do to be able to naturalize them. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because Article 11 in Haiti's constitution gives ownership to the Haitian government for these people.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot buy a land unless it's conveyed.
So the question is, and we got to be able to chop this down a little bit further. The question is that most recently at CARICOM, right? And the conversation that's happening throughout the Caribbean is how we're going to be able to help Haiti. And a great deal of our leaders say that this have to be a Haitian resolution. But the truth of the matter is that from a constitutional standpoint, Haitian has the Haitians has the autonomy. They only have the autonomy to make the decisions of what's going to happen to their citizens. So they're allowing, whilst they're conscious of their constitution, they're allowing Haitians to be able to flee out all over the place and knowing that they still can't be naturalized or become citizens of any other country.
Howard, let me put it to you That's crazy. The Haitian government is using the Haitians in as a form of Ministry of Tourism.
That is crazy.
To their country. They're allowing them to go in foreign countries and return
for remittance. That is crazy what you're saying.
It is?
No, I mean, we're seeing this happen, but to articulate it, to articulate it, to say that this is what's happening. Do you believe that the Haitian government consciously allows this to happen with the expectation that things will return?
Listen to me, man.
This
Why
bananas,
do you
what
think
they
abrogated Article 13 in their constitution? Remember now, before June 19, 2012, Haitians was allowed to renounce their citizenship, providing they go to Port-au-Prince, Haiti before the Justice Department.
But what about now? What about now? What about now that the turmoil that's happening on the ground, do you believe that there could be a reformation or a modification to this particular clause? Well, they can't. They still have to go to referendum to make a change to the Constitution.
Yes, you see, it's a constitutional issue. And
what to say?
Haiti and Port-au-Prince, which is the seat of government, doesn't really have an organized government right now. So what they're doing...
And they can't...
Yes, what's happening.
Can they claim political asylum? Can they claim political asylum because of the turmoil that is happening in their country? Or does the Constitution still state?
Howard, they can claim it. But is countries allowed to accept it? Listen, Great Britain Prime Minister said, you could claim that as much as you like. We're not accepting you.
That is crazy.
Under those grounds.
That is
political
crazy.
Asylum. All right, America's accepting 30,000. Go there. See, the problem with the Bahamas, we can't take on
that.
Well,
they didn't get half under the bridge.
Well, we can't, Howard, we cannot take on that load. The only thing we can offer them right now, legally, listen to me, Howard, please, legally, is a work permit. Or a permit to reside. They cannot get citizenship. And if they were not here prior to 1985 based on the permanent residency law, they cannot get that. And this is why the Privy Council sent it back to the Supreme Court for constitutional redress. Do you realize lawfully right now, lawfully, the Bahamas government could go and pick every one of them up and send them back to Haiti because they're...
Post-85.
Yes. Yes, because they don't have any status.
That might be 100,000. That's heavy,
they don't have status.
Wow.
They can't renounce, so they can't be citizen.
Call me. Let's do a show about this. Call me. Let's do a show about it because I got a couple more calls on the line. 827.
I got you. Later,
you got my number, right? 827.
Yeah, man. I got you.
Okay. Text me. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Let me take the next telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, pleasant good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, Anton.
How are you?
Man, I ain't hear from you in forever.
Yeah, it's been a while.
My God. How are things, man? Everything good?
I'm holding to the grace of God.
It's wonderful to hear from you. What's happening?
Yeah, just tuning into your conversation. Got a couple of the last set of callers. I thought I'd make an intervention as it relates to changing the way forward and opportunities and, you know, some of the everyday realities that you started to speak to as it relates to not being able to advance or having desires to advance yourself and the road being a bit muddy in order for you to accomplish or attain some of the things that you may like to attain in your own country. How would we help, and you're asking where is the money and et cetera going to come from? How would we have a lot of, we have a lot of wealth within the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We have within the remit of the government of the Bahamas opportunities that can sustain a new generation of wealth creation in our country, Howard, for at least 2-3 decades. Mm-hmm. Simply put, Howard, there's a lot of development, infrastructural development, redevelopment, ongoing development that has to take place in order to advance the Bahamas, especially throughout the family of islands, also in the capital, the way it needs to be. We look at what's happening with the NIB fund, for instance, in one of the reports that was given by the actuaries where they spoke about pretty much half of the fund's wealth being tied up in infrastructural or capital development that are not valued anywhere near where the numbers are actually being represented in the current day report, right? Are you still there, Howard?
I'm right here.
Okay, and so if the government of the Bahamas, and this is one of the recommendations that I put forward, which is why I'm the only reason why I'm seeking to speak on it right now. If the government of the Bahamas takes on the mandate to pursue that National Infrastructural Development Fund, there's a lot to be had in that. I spoke about it on one show sometime late last year, before he would have left the station. And there's education that could be forwarded, right, through bringing in the expertise that are needed in some of the development and ensuring that that expertise or those expertise are transferred to Bahamian so that we can ensure that moving forward as we grow along the line of development, infrastructural development, capital development in our country, we have Bahamians who can take the helm or the mantle and ensure that most of these highly paid critical jobs are provided to Bahamians for the most part, 90, maybe 95% of those jobs. And then we have, of course, we have the funding aspect of these projects, Howard, where the government would have to take a position to change from this status quo, where the same group of people are getting all of the opportunities on the backs of the majority. We have to change from that status quo in order to ensure that the wealth is spread through the funding of these projects, Howard, where Bahamians can attain ownership in some of their own infrastructural development or redevelopment or underdevelopment in our country. Right, Howard?
I appreciate it, man. I apologize, Anton, but you know, we got to get out of here. I have 2 minutes before we can do this. We have to talk a little
bit. Understood, Howard. But the conversation exists for other shows, Howard, but there's a lot to be gained in our country. And I'd like to say a quick thing on immigration, if I could. 5, 10, 15 seconds, Howard.
Go ahead. Take a second.
We are taking the wrong approach with immigration in our country. And if we're not careful, we're going to undermine our own foundation. That's a further conversation for another show. Take care, Howard.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Let's read one or two texts. It said the U.S. and every other country allows Haitians to be naturalized and become citizens in their country. Haitians renounce their citizenship every day. This argument makes no sense. Here's the link to explain the Haitian. They send the link. It's called RAFworld.org, RAFworld.org. And all these non-lawyers always citing that their constitution, what the constitution mean. Bruh, note, no constitution lawyer has ever agreed with their position. These are texts that's actually coming through. Hi, Howard. You're thinking central government can't afford these things. These governments have, well, we're going to read this. I can take a picture of this and we're going to read this next week. I see your calls are coming through. We are out of here for the day. Enjoy your 242 day. Make sure you do something Bahamian. Have something in Bahamian in terms of being able to drink and eat. Get some gully wash, some sky juice. Don't get too wet up. Enjoy your weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to be able to come in. On Monday, we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to have Dr. Patterson come on. On Tuesday, we have Bishop Simeon Hall being able to come on. So the show is going to be ram-packed next week. And Wednesday, we're going to have Dazzy in the studio with us. Guys, have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Stick and stay for Z Live with Shivago Lange right after this. Have a beautiful weekend, guys. Thank you so much.
Let's be patriotic, cause we bout to get loose. Someone say, I'll lose.